Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. This month, Maureen is back with Vern Arnold. He comes from a family that settled in the Applegate Valley to make a living from mining. Vern lived the life and wrote a book about his family and two mountains named for them. Vern Arnold, good to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
How far back can you trace your family history in the region?
1860.
And that was the actual, so that's when the people first moved
that
here.
That was in the census.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman Oscar Collings.
And so how many generations since that time?
Quite a few. Mm-hmm. Let's see, he'd be my great-grandfather.
Okay. So that goes back a few anyway. So was it mining that drew your ancestors to the region?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Probably the California Gold Rush.
Where did he settle?
He was on the 1860 census. He was on Forest Creek,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of China people there, Chinese,
mm-hmm.
mining on that river.
And that is on the Applegate River?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. it's right off the Applegate.
Okay.
Tributary. A lot of mining.
Yeah, a lot of mining.
And so it sounds like there was a lot of different sorts of minerals. The area is fairly mineral rich, as I understand it. So you had
about every kind of mineral imaginable here in this region. We were talking about that the other day.
So from what you've been able to figure out about your ancestors, I mean, I can imagine some of these guys came out here not knowing cinnabar from cinnabun, you know. So
that's true.
So how did they get the expertise necessary to know what they're pulling out?
I imagine they worked with somebody that knew what they were doing, supposedly. Now, this Freeman Oscar Collings did mining for a while, but then he got into ranching, and he finally, that was his main career. But he did mining in the winter, when there wasn't much to do on the farm.
Mm-hmm. So he was always looking for ways to bring in a couple of bucks, it sounds like.
Wasn't he out by copper?
Yeah, the farm was located where Applegate Lake is now. It's now underwater. And he had a pretty good size farm there, raised about 10 children.
Mm-hmm. So and did you grow up on that same farm? Or?
No. I was born in Medford, 1938. And we had a homestead ranch not too far from the original farm, and that's where I was first 4 years, and then we moved to Butte Falls after that.
Why Butte Falls?
My dad was looking for work because 1938-39 was still the end of the Depression, and he found work at Medco. So he commuted for a while, and then he moved the whole family up there.
Commuted from the Applegate Valley all the way up to Butte Falls?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, you didn't see much of him during those years, did you?
No, we didn't.
So talk about the, it sounds like it's a history very much tied to the land, but over time, does that come a little unraveled as the generations go on?
Right. Not that many people down the line were interested in farming.
Mm-hmm.
So the farms went by the wayside.
And you ended up going to college and becoming a teacher, is that right?
Right. I started here, 4 years here, got my bachelor's degree.
At what is now Southern Oregon University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And taught 2 years in Grants Pass, math and science, and then 10 years in the Medford system.
That doesn't sound like a very long teaching career.
No. I started working part-time at the credit union, mm-hmm. Rogue Credit Union. And I took over as CEO after being there about 20 years. So the last 14 years I was CEO of the credit union, mm-hmm. and retired about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That was, it actually started as a teacher's credit union, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kept taking in other groups and so on, and then became a community credit union. Now it's very large.
So you have had little bits of flavor, it seems like, of all kinds of aspects of Southern Oregon life in your own family, in your own lifetime.
Yes, we have, and we've been in all parts of the valley, too. My dad's dad was born in California, and he moved up here with his family in about 1863, not too far. His name was James E. Arnold, and it was kind of ironic. He actually settled in Butte Falls area. Wasn't much there then, 1863, and he got shot and killed in 1865. So the family moved back to Jacksonville.
What were the circumstances of him getting shot and killed?
Well, that was kind of an interesting story. I'll try to make it brief. But his daughter, he gave her permission to get married to this fellow, and they lived somewhere up in that area. And she finally decided she didn't like him that well, and so she moved back with the family. They had a shack or something up there. And the dog came with her. Well, came back looking for his dog.
He wanted
the dog back. He didn't care if his wife, but he wanted the dog back. And they got in a row, and each of them pulled out a gun, and he shot his father-in-law, basically, killed him. So that was – it was actually printed in the Sentinel, that story.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran off, and they spent, I think, another 20 years trying to find him. He finally came back to the Valley, and they put him in prison for a short time, but that didn't last. The ironic thing, my grandmother, or my great-aunt, is married to him, decided that she wanted to move back in with him. So they remarried. She divorced him. He was from abandoning the family. And then she remarried him. And so that was kind of interesting, and that she would remarry. And she was married about 5 times.
One of the interesting things about Vern's family is that, you know, I've been all over the Valley, you know, from one side to the other, and Vern's family keeps popping up. I see the same photos in different family photo albums, and they're Vern's family, and there's some sort of relationship there. It's really funny.
So it's the Collings, the Arnolds. What other names are in that family tree?
Those are the same, the main ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My dad was born in Squaw Lake, mm-hmm. 1902, and my mother happened to be born in Tacoma, Washington, but her mother was born in the Applegate in 1879. Mm-hmm. So my grandmother, who I knew when I was, she died when I was about 9 years old, so I got to know her pretty well.
Vern Arnold is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's Stories of Southern Oregon with the curator of the series, Maureen Flanagan Battistella, back in the studio with us. Questions, comments for Vern? Stories to share about history you might know about him? It sounds like he's met a lot of people in his years in the Rogue Valley. 800-838-3760 to join in by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. I'm thinking about the Rogue Valley that your parents' parents knew, and thinking about things like the fact that there was a Butte Falls and there was, you know, communities in the Applegate Valley, but there was no Medford.
No.
Until the 1880s.
Right. No Medford. Basically, the county seat was in Jacksonville, and they lived in Jacksonville for a while, my dad and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they had about three. My dad, there was about a family of about 5 there. But, there wasn't much here.
Now, you and your wife compiled a family history. She did paintings for the book, is that right?
Well, that was my sister who did the paintings.
Sister, I'm sorry.
Yeah, who did the paintings. And I did a little compilation. Our mine was discovered in 1915. It's up in the Upper Applegate,
mm-hmm.
on Jackson County side. We had another claim in the Josephine County. Anyway. What was I going to say? That was 1915. So when in 2015, I said we've got to celebrate 100 anniversary of the mine. So we did, and we had a pretty good gathering of people from all over the country.
So that much extended family knew that they could trace their roots back to the mine.
Yes.
Wow. You've talked about spending time up at that mine. Tell me about those summers when you were an adolescent.
Oh yeah, when I was a teenager, before I got out of high school, and I think till I got out of high school, we'd go up there. I'd go up with my uncle, hike in 9 miles, and spend a month up there doing what's called the assessment work. You had mm-hmm. to do $100 worth of work a year on each claim to keep it. And we didn't take any gold out, but it was fun to go up there in the mountains in the middle of nowhere and spend a month.
What'd you eat?
Beans and taters.
For a month.
Did you hunt for some food too?
No, not up there. My uncle wouldn't kill a deer out of season. You couldn't get him to kill one.
Oh, wow.
That was the way we could have fresh meat, which mm-hmm. a lot of the miners did in those days.
But there's all kinds of greens out there and foraging.
Yes,
but
right. I don't remember
beans
us eating.
And potatoes.
I don't remember us eating any of those greens.
Uh-huh. She had to haul a lot of sacks of beans up there.
Yeah, right. Like...
So you said you've never gotten the gold bug, but other parts of your family have?
Yeah, my dad had the gold bug, and his dad definitely had the gold bug.
And what does that mean?
That means that you'll do anything to get gold out of the ground. My uncle and my dad spent the early 30s during the Depression, when there were no jobs available, doing the assessment work there and actually mining and getting some gold out enough to keep the family going. And we had this Homestead Ranch on the Applegate, which is the closest place to mm-hmm. get into the mine.
This is not placer mining on creeks, though,
No, this is hard rock mining. It's a quartz ledge about 2 foot wide that goes at about a 45-degree angle down in the earth. So they tunneled back into it and then went up and down and sideways trying to find the gold. But they never did find the real rich pocket. My dad said that if we could find that rich pocket, none of us would have to work anymore for wages. He always said, but we won't have to work for wages
anymore. It was always
anymore.
Out there.
Yeah, it was always out there. That lured the gold.
Oh, just out of reach. Yeah. Right. So it sounds like a lot of turning of big rocks into small rocks to get little bits of gold out of them.
Yeah, my dad, and also they built a two-stamp mill back in the 30s, small two-stamp mill, and they would run the gold down a hill, steep hill, on trolley cars or whatever you call them, trams. And they got enough gold, they grind it into fine sand, mix it with mercury, which is no-no anymore.
Right, sure.
And would retrieve the gold out of that. And they got enough, like I say, to keep them going. But in later years, my dad retired from Medco in 1967. He was born in 1902, so he's 65. Mm-hmm. And he decided he was going to build another stamp mill up there. That other one had deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
And he built another stamp mill, and it was pretty good size. But it was only two stamps. He never ran it much other than demonstrations. There was always a reason he couldn't run it.
But So what became of the mill?
It's kind of collapsed
it's
now.
Just
there's not much left.
Sunk into the ground?
Yeah, it's just a heap of boards and stuff.
Weren't you required to close it down at one point?
I think so. During the war, I think they had to close it down.
Uh-huh.
But
were there ever any disasters, like collapses of the mine?
Luckily not. My dad and his brother were really very careful that they didn't get anybody hurt, no matter what it took. Uh-huh. Finally got a little bulldozer up there and built a road in so we didn't have to hike in and build a more elaborate cabin about 1960.
Huh.
Okay, I promised people details of the story about how there are actually two mountains named after your family.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of them goes back to the Collings that were in the Applegate Valley. And they did mostly farming up there in the Applegate Valley. And because they'd been there so long, this is before my time, they decided to name it Collings Mountain, Oregon Geographic Name Board or whatever. And then after my dad retired and passed away, my son said, why don't we rename this mountain? It was called Lake Peak, the mountain we were on.
And there was a Lake Peak and a Lake Mountain, is that right?
Yes, right. And why have both? So he said, if anybody can do it, you can. So I wrote to Washington, D.C. I didn't know where to start. And they said, well, you have to contact, and I want to name it after my grandfather or my dad who just passed away. They said they have to be deceased at least 10 years. So I went back to my granddad who originally discovered it. And they, after about 3 or 4 years, they said there's no reason why we can't change it to Arnold Mountain. And so now it's called on the maps Arnold Mountain.
So is Arnold Mountain and a Collings Mountain?
Yes.
That's great. So your
both
family represents
it. I know it. How's that for a legacy?
That's great. But the story's kind of funny, though, in the sense of well, you got too many things named Lake, so why not?
Yes, I know what. That's exactly right.
And it becomes Arnold Mountain. That's great. We've had a fun visiting with Vern Arnold in this month's Stories of Southern Oregon, a long history in the region, and it goes even further back several generations. Thanks for visiting with us.
I sure appreciate
on the Jefferson Exchange. Maureen Flanagan Battistella is the curator of Stories of Southern Oregon. She's in the studio. Well, Maureen, always good to see you.
Good to see you too, Jeff. Thank you.